This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning and welcome back to The Morning Run. I'm Roshan with Chuang and Noel in the studio this morning. In about 15 minutes, we're taking a look at freedom in the media with Alia Al-Hajri, a journalist and representative from Gerakan Media Merdeka. And but before that, we're going to discuss airlines and tourism. We've got a poll running actually on Twitter right now. When will you travel again? 41% of the vote saying not sure, 27% saying when I get vaccinated, 17% only cuti Malaysia, and 15% say when infections drop a lot. A bit braver there than me, I guess. I said when I get vaccinated. But right now, we're taking a look at the industry a little bit wider. Ever since the COVID-19 pandemic hit, countries began to halt entries of tourists around the world. And this has been one of the hardest hit industries overall, really. In fact, the World Travel and Tourism Council projected a global loss of 75 million jobs and $2.1 trillion in revenue due to the pandemic.
IATA estimated the global airline losses from the pandemic have climbed to about $300 billion now. So closer to home, airlines operating in Malaysia indicated that 13.6 million seats were cancelled, meaning hundreds of millions of consumer dollars are stuck with them. And if you might recall, I think Tony Fernandez was recently, I think he put on Instagram asking passengers to to take the credits rather than seek refunds. Of course, you know, it's debatable whether consumers should do that. After all, you know, thanks to AirAsia, we have been able to fly to so many countries, right, at such a low cost.
Yeah, so in light of the crisis, the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, MATA, has urged the government to consider providing financial support to the local aviation industry and airlines to help them survive and recover from the impact of COVID-19. So for more on this, we speak to Nigel Wong, Honorary Secretary General of the Malaysian of MATA. And Nigel, thank you so much for joining us on the line today. Now, MATA has raised concerns regarding MAVCOM giving leeway to airlines in providing refunds to customers. Now, what are these concerns?
Hey, morning guys. Nice to be on the show. Look, I think where MATA is coming from, it's very straightforward. It's not just about the refunds to customers. The bigger picture here is that airlines, especially our local airlines, need to survive. And keeping the money of the customers to themselves, to us, is going to cause far more problems than if they were to issue refunds to customers. Now, I know it's a bit of a balancing act, and there is no entirely right or wrong way, but the fact is, customers are hounding not just airlines, but the agencies and those who have serviced them for refunds. So I think the main concern here would be, number one, what if the airlines were to go into liquidation? You know, what's going to happen to the funds of the customers that have already been used to purchase the tickets? And number two, this also opens up a lot of grey areas where the middlemen, especially the travel agents, are not only having to work or act on behalf of the airlines, they are stuck as well. They can't refund the customers because the customers themselves are not keen on taking the credits or even extending or moving their trips or travels to a later date. So these are the two major concerns that come up when we're talking about refunds to customers. Now, in short, what MATA has already said is it'd be great if the government, like other governments that are already doing so, provides that lifeline to the airline so they can keep running operations, maintaining their staff and their fleet, but at the same time, giving better options to customers, including refunds, because they don't have to hold their cash, you know, in lieu of keeping the business running.
Well, Nigel, that would be one of half a dozen or one in six of the other, because if you allow the government to essentially bail out the airlines, it's going to be taxpayer money. So essentially still the same thing, it's just the left hand versus the right, don't you think?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, the either way you look at it, it's still going to be taxpayers' money going to helping the economy. But at the moment, what's going on is these credit notes, they're not giving a lot of confidence to the consumer. And if you're on the ground right now trying to deal with people asking for refunds, the request can be very, very unreasonable. And at the same time, we can identify with it because people are needing money now. They want to take back their money that they spent on tickets to be used, you know, during this particular period. And people are not confident. So one way or the other, you're right, it's still going to be taxpayers' money. It's whether it's going to be very complicated and what are the risks involved in keeping that money with the airlines.
Nigel, controversial question. You earlier said that airlines need to be saved. Do they? Do they really need to be saved?
Yes. Look, if you go to the airports now, it's a very bleak and very sad scene. You see, you know, planes lined up right across the runway. And that's very bad because we know that as far as the airlines are concerned, they're starting to look at retrenching people. They're taking people on unpaid leave. And as with any other business, that's bleak. But for an airline, especially our local carriers, MES, AirAsia, and all the other affiliated airlines, that is our lifeline to tourism once recovery kicks in. So that's why it's very, very important that the governments ensure that the airlines themselves get a helping hand.
There's Malaysia Airlines that has been bailed out a few times, and now there's also AirAsia. I'm not sure if the government has the appetite to save both. Should they choose, or should they, or how? What do you propose to the government?
Well, both airlines, ironically, are very important for a number of reasons. Now, AirAsia, of course, being our flagship low-cost carrier, you know, has opened up a lot of routes, not just within Malaysia, but within the Asian hub. So AirAsia is very important because they provide a certain market with the ability to travel. And as far as MES is concerned, besides the fact that it's our national airlines, MES also provides a very, very key service to different destinations, different regions, which AirAsia sometimes does not service as well. So either way you look at it, and this includes their subsidiaries or the other smaller companies like Firefly, Mars Wings, you know, they're all servicing various sectors which the other airlines don't necessarily service in totality as well. So whatever it is, that transportation network has to be maintained to a greater degree.
All right, Nigel, let's switch over to tourism overall. Even after the MCO ends, how long do you think it'll take for hotels to get back on their feet here?
Wow. Now, I'm not quoting my figures because this is the Hotel Association. Now, they're indicating at least a minimum of a year. On the tourism side, as far as the travel agencies are concerned, we're also looking about a year and more. So that's the minimum amount of recovery time we're looking at.
Yeah. On what basis do you put this timeline, Nigel, or is it just a bit of a stab in the dark?
Okay, look, if we look at travel in general, we're talking about inbound, domestic and outbound travel. Now, when we talk about domestic travel, yes, it will recover quicker. That's because everybody's still traveling within the country. But when I talk about travel in the sense, we're talking about both inbound and outbound traffic, which constitutes the bigger amounts that are being spent on travel. Key thing is inbound travel. With the different countries instituting their various controls, and of course with the nature of the pandemic, not knowing whether it's going to a second wave or a third wave, the uncertainty of whether to open borders because of the fear of this recurrence of the pandemic in their various countries, Malaysia's not accepted, that's going to give us at least the minimum timeline of a year, just due to the pure uncertainty. Now, to back that with figures, we're looking at both outbound and inbound travel. Inbound is virtually nil, as we all know. Outbound travel, this is where the issue comes in. Outbound travel, people are actually cancelling their trips wholesale and at the very least deferring their trips to a year or more. You know, and sometimes that's not even possible because pricing, availability of airlines, seats, hotels, they're not quite fixed yet 1 year out, 1 year ahead. So because of that, we're looking at least the minimum of a year to begin recovery.
So how bad will it be for your members, the tour and travel agents? How many, say, permanent closures or how many people are going to lose their jobs? Just give us some numbers, a sense of what's going on.
Okay, we're currently running a couple of surveys. They're not done yet. But the initial indications here is that we're looking at least 10% of the respondents closing their businesses within the next 3 months. And at the moment, more than half the companies are already instituting pay cuts, unpaid leave, and about 30% of them have indicated that there is going to be some form of retrenchment within the 1 to 3 months from now.
All right, Nigel, on that note, what can the... I mean, the government has tried to help here. It's had its own stimulus packages. I think one of the first stimulus packages focused... the first stimulus package focused on the tourism industry. What more can be done to help the industry overall?
Okay, at the moment, the government has done some nice things, you know, for the industry in general. However, I think that tourism needs a special focus, and that's basically to do with maintaining the workforce. Being travel agencies, we generally work on service fees. We do earn some commissions from various services that we sell, but the margins, by and large, are actually very, very thin. Now, although we service a very large number of people, we also need a very large number of people to service these customers. So keeping staff intact is the number one priority at this point. Now, the second thing that we're actually looking at, and this will really, really help domestic travel or inbound travel especially, is the travel agencies who run fleets of tourism vehicles. They're in a very bad position. They need a lifeline because credit companies are not extending the same benefits as banks are. And they're required to continue paying that interest. And even to a certain degree, more than 50% of the loan. Now, the major problem here is, as far as tourism is concerned, income is virtually nil. And unlike some industries like retail, we don't expect it to pick up straight away once the MCO ends. It'll be a while.
All right, Nigel, thank you so much for joining us on the line today. That was Nigel Wong, Honorary Secretary General with the Malaysian Association of Tour and Travel Agents, more commonly known as MATA. Now, we're going into a few messages and the 9:30 a.m. news. When we come back, we'll be taking a look at media freedom with Alia Al-Hadri, journalist and representative from Gerakan Media Merdeka. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.